Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Deborah Shane's Top Small Business Podcast and the hub for community connections and conversations. Join us weekly for lively discussions and inspiring guests on current events, careers, consumer trends, small business, and social media. Visit DeborahShaneToolbox.com to learn more about Deborah and how you can be in the spotlight. And now, your host, Deborah Shane.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to the Metropolis here on February 16th, 2015. Wow. I say that because my guest today is my friend Anita Campbell, who's the CEO and founder of SmallBusinessTrends.com. And I started writing for them February 2011, so it's like my four-year anniversary in, you know, as a colleague and writer for Small Business Trends, and I have so enjoyed the relationship, and I've watched this site just totally explode and be a really key top content hub in the small business world. So Anita Campbell, congratulations on a fantastic job, and welcome back to the Metropolis.
Awesome to be here, Deborah.
Well, just so people know quickly, Small Business Trends is an award-winning online publication for small business owners, entrepreneurs, and the people who interact with them. It's a premier source of information, breaking news, and advice, covering all the key important small business issues of the day. And its mission statement is really focused, small business success delivered daily. I mean, can't get better than that, right?
Well, we hope it accurately describes what we believe our mission is, and that's what we try to live by every day, Deborah.
Well, and I think you do, because every day you post fantastic content by a diverse group of writers. If I'm not mistaken, you've got about 400-plus vetted writers in and out, and then some, you know, obviously some of your consistent writers now, right?
Yes, actually, it's close to 500. And, of course, we have a core staff of staff writers who write on various topics. We look for people who are thought leaders and want to share their expertise.
Well, I can honestly say that it's a tremendous resource of information, very diverse, in the small business process. And that's what I really like, because it's you know, it's about starting a business, running a business, closing a business, you know, changing a business. And, you know, small business entrepreneurship is in the best shape it's ever been, but it's probably the hardest, other than the downturn, you know, that we've come out of. It's one of the hardest things to do, I think. It's because not everybody's, you know, cut out to be an entrepreneur. So let me start off asking you, because you're in the thick of so many things every day, what is the temperament of small business for 2015 that you see? Because, you know, everything this, you know, pretty much the last half of last year and this year so far is very positive, very active, focus on growth and growth rather than recovery. So what are you seeing and feeling with regard to the temperament so far this year for small business?
The small business world, I think, is overall pretty positive. And I think that people are excited about the future. We look at a variety of different indices and metrics that tell you how small businesses are doing. And obviously, you know, there are always going to be small businesses that go through various cycles. At one point, they may be struggling. At another point, they may be doing really, really well. Setting those individual situations aside, if I had to say how small businesses in general are doing, I'd say, you know, it's pretty positive, and it continues in an upward trajectory. We look at the NFIB's Small Business Optimism Index, and it was at a very low point in about 2009. In fact, the lowest it had been in decades. And since then, you know, it goes up and it goes down. Nothing ever goes up in a straight line. Nothing ever goes down in a straight line. It's, you know, it's a jagged tooth kind of thing. But if you look at it since 2009, it's definitely on the upward path. And it's gone up, you know, I'd say, you know, well over close to 20 points now. We're back to what is considered the baseline index value of 100. We're about just under 98, which is really good because back in 2009, it was really low. It was, you know, down in the low 80s. So that's fantastic. And, you know, it'll go up, it'll go down depending on any given month. But overall, it's really doing pretty well, which says small businesses are pretty darn optimistic.
This is true. And, you know, the issue of, you know, it getting down to the general public so that they feel that optimism and positivity is always a point of the discussion, you know, that, you know, the metrics and all that say this, and we sort of see it with the stock market. Different things are definitely up. They're more positive. They're more, you know, elevated. But, you know, then you talk to other people and it's like they're still in this kind of gloom and doom down feeling. Do you see that still too?
Well, there are always going to be people, you know, in the gloom and doom, and you know, I'm not saying that things aren't bad for some people and some businesses. They will be, because like I said earlier, you know, individual businesses, individual consumers, they all go through, you know, certain types of cycles and circumstances that are unique to their businesses. I would say this. If you look at the jobs numbers, for example, you see that small businesses are actually adding quite a few jobs compared to larger businesses. So a lot of the job growth is coming at the small business level. For example, if you look at the ADP jobs report, and they do a special small business jobs report, yes, it dipped. The growth dipped in January, but it was still growth. And that was really only in comparison to the earlier month. And you have to take words like dip and down in context. And what you tend to lose in the daily news cycle is context. You'll hear, oh, something dipped. Yeah, well, that's great, but how big of a dip was it? And is it up overall compared to where it was 2 years ago? And will next month see a surge? Will it go up? You know, is this just one of those momentary blips on an ever upward trending line? That's what you don't hear in the news. So I would say, don't tend to get overly focused on words like dip and down and plunged and whatever, because, you know, those things are all often very temporary movements and really are not reflective of what's happening over a longer period of time, months or years.
Well, everything that I've been feeling and reading and, you know, the conversations, it's really finally about, you know, growth versus recovery, which is such an awesome thing because, you know, we have probably been through some of the toughest years any of us have ever lived through. I mean, I don't have anything to compare it to. I didn't live through the Depression or any of that stuff. So, you know, I obviously some of the dips of the early 80s, early 90s, some of that stuff. But I don't know. You know, I was in a broadcast radio and doing amazing. So I didn't really feel that stuff. So, you know, but 2008, 9, 10, 11, those years were really devastating for a lot of people. So the whole idea that people feel and see the growth versus being in recovery, I think is a super duper thing. Really good. So share with us, if you will, and I know you sent me some information on this, share some of the technology and social media trends that you see impacting small business the most, and, you know, enhancing and creating categories of business. And what are some of the biggest challenges still facing small businesses?
Well, I'd like to pick out a few trends that, you know, I see happening that I think are significant. One of them is about social media. So, you know, what we have seen over the past year, and actually even before that, is that social media plays where the large players like Facebook, Twitter, and others have gone public, or they are being pressured by their investors to show more revenue. As a result, what has happened is this, that what once was totally free has just begun evolving and moving to the point where you now have to pay more if you want more visibility. A lot of this visibility is, you know, really being ratcheted back. That shouldn't be surprising. What it does mean, though, is that, first of all, for small businesses, you know, maybe a bit of the free ride is a little over in small business, in social media. That before, we could get big movement of traffic, we could see all kinds of results from social media just from our organic free efforts. And now what we're seeing is that it takes a lot more effort to get the same result. It takes actually promoting some of your, let's say, your updates on social media. And by promoting, I mean paying for promoted updates, paying for promoted visibility. So we're seeing that happen, and it's happening across the board. I think Facebook has been probably the most visible of these. A lot of people complained over the past year about how their organic updates are just being seen by sometimes single-digit percentages of followers. You know, maybe only 5% of your followers actually see your updates in their streams. But what it also says is it's not just about paying money. It's also about understanding these platforms a little better and maybe evolving your own strategy a little more intelligently. And so let me give you an example using Facebook. What Facebook really wants, I think I've figured out now, is they don't want people to come in and use Facebook as a way to post their updates and draw people off of Facebook back to their websites. They don't want you to do that. What they want is the opposite. They want you driving your traffic to Facebook and using Facebook as a destination.
Yep.
And you might say, well, why would I do that? Well, if, you know, think of Facebook as a platform where, you know, billions of people, I mean, over a billion people are using it every month. And if your customer base is regularly using it and they spend a lot of time on Facebook, maybe it pays for you to be on Facebook and spending time there and actually driving people to your Facebook page where maybe you give Facebook exclusive discounts and coupons or Facebook only content or whatever it is. In other words, use it as a destination yourself and think of ways to lure your target audience there so that they can find something, because if they're already on Facebook, why not get them over to your page? And don't rely on them trying to see what's in their stream, because they're only a tiny percentage are actually going to see your updates in their stream. Instead, give them a reason to actually come to your Facebook page. Treat it as a landing page. Create some tabs where there are things on there, you know, maybe a special game that is only on Facebook, you know, discounts that you give out every week or whatever it is. And, you know, train people that, you know, if they like to hang out on Facebook, they should stop by at your page at least once a week and see what you got there. And if you think of it that way, then you can get more out of Facebook, and you won't feel, you know, as you won't feel cheated by people not seeing your updates in their streams, because you'll be thinking about your page as this destination landing page, and then you'll be working on strategies and trying to figure out reasons to get people to come over there. And on your website, you might say, instead of just follow us on, you know, on Facebook or like us on Facebook, you might say, hey, come on over to Facebook, and every week we offer a special blankety blank, whatever that is. You know, make sure you visit us when you're on Facebook. In other words, tell them that they should come over and use your Facebook page as a place that they want to visit, even if it's just for a few minutes every week, every day, whatever it is. Does that make sense?
I think, too, it makes perfect sense. And I have seen and watched Facebook transform itself from a, okay, let me post my cake mix here and, you know, post a picture of this fantastic cake I baked, which is cool. But it has developed this entire Facebook for Business team. And I was one of the conferences that I went to last year, I met that team, and this is serious stuff to them. Really serious stuff, and they have a very specific way that they want small businesses to use Facebook. And, you know, I've seen small businesses that are exclusively on Facebook and having great success marketing their business to their customers on Facebook. So I think actually Facebook has done one of the best jobs with that, and because it accommodates so many things. You can post a picture, you can post a survey, you can do so many things on Facebook with your content. So I agree with you 100%. What about some of the technology and software stuff that you see really impacting things today? You talked about that it's much easier to build a website, and that which it is. And also, I had this discussion the other day with somebody, and you know, who contacted me back after many years. And I went to his website. He's a lawyer, and it's like it screams 2000. You know what I mean? It's like it just screams late 90s, 2000s in his theme and his style and the whole feel of it. And that's kind of important that you look relevant and current to the visual marketing that people are seeing today. Do you agree with that?
Oh, totally. Because you know, if you go to a website and you get the impression that something hasn't changed since, you know, the year 2000,
right.
I mean, what are you going to think about that person's legal skills or whatever it is that they have to offer? You're going to naturally jump to the conclusion. It may be totally wrong, but you're going to jump to the conclusion that, well, this is a person who's kind of out of touch and, you know, probably nothing is up to date here. And I'm not sure I'd have a lot of confidence in a lawyer who hasn't kept up his or her legal skills in, you know, almost 15 years. But that would be the impression that I would get. Whether it's wrong or right, it doesn't matter. You know, impressions are, you know, perception is reality, as they say.
Well, I think the idea that whatever, you know, they're keeping up with their legal skills, you can post them, you can post that you have these skills, but if you post it on a website that's dated and kind of, you know, not the format or themes that people are used to seeing today, I think that says something about a business. And, you know, you talked about you know, website styles, menus, slide outs, animated images. You know, I mean, I rebranded my website last year, and I wanted to focus on my blogging. I wanted to focus on my writing, so I made it a blog site and, you know, picked a theme that I felt was really sharp and modern and, you know, kind of a little bit edgy. And, I hadn't rebranded my website in probably 3 or 4 years. And branding, I updated my branding. I mean, I think all those things are really important because it shows you know, it sort of shows an organic growth process. I mean, you wouldn't wear the same clothes style and hairstyle in 2015 that you wore in 2000, if you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, and, you know, and I think what has really happened, you know, it's not just the look of things. You do mention some things that have changed. For example, the hamburger menu is one of them. So the hamburger menu is, whether you realize it's called that or not, it is the three little horizontal lines that form a little navigation icon. And we first started seeing these on smartphone apps where, you know, there's not a lot of screen real estate. So you'd see the three horizontal lines and you'd click it and maybe a little menu would slide out from the left or something drop down or whatever. And what we've now seen is that websites started using that icon. Now, it's a very controversial thing, but what it means is that, you know, the mobile world has basically dictated in a way how we're navigating on even websites, on computers. Whether the hamburger menu will stay around or not remains to be seen. These things tend to go in and out of fashion. And, you know, there are some bad things about the hamburger menu. For example, a lot of people still, even to this day, don't realize it's a menu. They just kind of look at it and think, oh, it's just a little icon or graphic or something. Am I supposed to click on it? Oh, so they may not even realize that you have content there because it's not obvious to them that they should click. I'll give you the example of the Time.com website. Time.com restyled their website, and they included a hamburger menu, and I guess not enough people clicked on it to open up the navigation menu. So then they came back later and they put the word menu underneath the three little lines so that would know, oh,
yeah,
it's a menu.
Okay. Supposed to click on this. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it is one of those trends. We are seeing more minimalistic looking design.
Yeah.
What I'm also starting to see in corporate business websites is, you know, sliders, and sliders are still around. I still have some of those on my websites as well. But, you know, what we're seeing now is kind of like you go to a website and instead of a slider, you'll see in the background a big image. It's like a very short, almost like a Vine video, something that's only goes for a few seconds long, but the people will actually be moving in this. And a perfect example is the new PayPal website, where you go to the PayPal website, and before it looked very, I mean, they had a really dated design, but now you're more likely to see something in the background. Not sure if it's actually moving right now, but I have gone to it on sometimes when, in fact, it's moving. But you'll see this on a lot of sites where you'll see just this like little short kind of video thing right in the background in the central spot when you first land on a website. So those are just some of the style things that are changing, and these things tend to go in and out of fashion pretty quickly. But pay attention to some of those things when you visit websites to see, like, hey, what are people doing today with their websites?
Well, and I think that's the, you know, the main point that should come out of our discussion here is what are you doing to, you know, stay relevant, stay current, you know, add the most value to your clients, your customers, your community, because the bar, I think, is set pretty high today for what people do expect from their vendors, their community. I mean, the activity is so high. We live daily, you know, on social media, and that's an integral part of our business. But there's still a lot of people that I was shocked at the statistic of people that still don't have a website. I mean, it's just the thought of it is, like, so crazy, but it's true. I mean, it's significant and it's true. So I think it's almost impossible to run a business without some basic things in place and a willingness to stay as relevant and current as you can to be a value to your customers and community. So I think that's the point of this. Mm-hmm. So,
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to transition into another trend that I think is relevant to what you just mentioned, and that is with today's tools, we've seen this revolution evolving over the past several years, actually almost a decade now. Ever since WordPress.org software and Blogger.com software were introduced back in the early 2000s, we have seen this migration of people building their own websites. And for a long time, WordPress was probably one of the best choices for building your own website. The price was right. You could download the WordPress.org software for free, get it set up, just get it hosted, and there were templates you could work off of and so on.
Right.
But it's still, despite being a lot easier than the situation before that, where you'd have to literally build the HTML yourself or use a tool like Dreamweaver, while it was an improvement, it still involved some technical stuff.
Sure.
And you still had to make choices. For example, you had to find your own hosting. And that may sound easy. And in one sense, it could be not that hard, but, it was just one more thing that you had to do, and heaven forbid that you should ever get hacked or something and have to deal with your hosting company in that situation, right? Well, now what has really changed in the past couple of years, and particularly over the past, I'd say, 12 to 18 months, is we've seen this whole next generation of website building tools that truly are easy. They make using WordPress software look hard. That's how easy they are. And they truly are, easy to click and set up a website. You use templates. You can drag and drop elements on the page. They've got the content there that you could use for the type of business that you're in. And then you just start with that type of content and tailor it and customize it for your use. The designs are great. I mean, some of the designs are just absolutely stunning, beautiful. And the price is right. I mean, obviously you can get something for free, but typically if you go with the free option, you end up having to have a link that links back to whatever the tool is that you're using. But to actually have something that doesn't have that kind of link or ad for the website builder, it could be as inexpensive as $5 or $6 a month. $10 a month will get you a really great-looking solution. And even, with all the bells and whistles, maybe adding an e-commerce store to your website and so on, you might only be at $25 a month, and that includes your hosting.
Yep.
So when you think about that, that's pretty darn, inexpensive here. You're $300 a year,
Yeah, that is. And you sent over like Wix, Weebly, GoDaddy. GoDaddy is still a great choice. Wix, Weebly, mm-hmm. Squarespace, VeriSign. Yeah, so these are viable, and of course they have that next gen mentality. So that's great. We have a couple of minutes left, and I want you to just talk for a minute or so about the awards coming up and some of the publishing hubs that you represent other than Small Biz Trends.
Sure. So we have the Small Business Book Awards going on right now, and nominations are still open. You have until, I think, it's beginning of the second week of March to nominate books and resources. So if you have a resource for authors or for readers of books, any kind of a software app or anything like that, or even a service that you provide to authors, you may nominate it. Books may be nominated if they were published in the past, in the 2014 calendar year. We really focus on books that are recently published, and they have to be of interest to small businesses, typically nonfiction, although if you had an allegory type of novel that had a lot of business lessons in it, that we might allow that. But generally speaking, we're talking about business-related books or books that are for a small business audience. And there is no fee to enter. We absolutely would love for you to come over and nominate a book, whether it's your book or someone else's book, and I'll give you the URL.
Okay.
It's Book Awards, so bookawards.smallbiztrends.com. And
okay,
that,
there you go. All right, there you go.
It's a terrific thing, so please bop over.
Well, for all the information regarding Small Business Trends, just go to smallbiztrends.com. We've been joined today by Anita Campbell, CEO and founder. Just go check out smallbiztrends.com. Enjoy the site. Got a lot of information on the awards and so many other services and great things that they provide for all small businesses. Thank you so much for joining us today. And as always, I look forward to continuing my relationship with you and the site. And we wish you continued success in this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds great.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us today on the Metropolis. Thank you, Anita Campbell, smallbiztrends.com. And we will see you again next time on the Metropolis.
Thank you for listening to our Top Small Business Podcast. Please share us with others and come back and visit again soon. To learn more about Deborah and how you can be in the spotlight, visit DeborahShaneToolbox.com and rock somebody's day, whatever you do.